One more time. Hold the key down for a second before you talk to us. It's not activating as quick as we would like.
Yeah, you're into Marine HF SSD equipment.
Well, not anymore. I don't have my phone anymore. I sold it. But I had a great station set up. I had 16,000 with the DSP head and the auto tuner and stuff. That was a great radio, 150 watts. It was a beautiful machine.
Make what's that? I didn't get it. Yeah, what was the make of the Marine radio?
Sierra Golf Charlie 2000. Copy?
Yeah, SGC. Yeah, they made some decent gear for each Marine, separate coupler, so on and so forth. I was involved with Marine HF SSD also many years ago. A lot of that type of gear. Furuno HF gear, Marconi. And that stuff is very expensive and very highly sought after by people who have very large boats.
Copy, you all had a Hans Christian 43, so that was a good size. Perfect for that. I turned my backstay into a dipole with the insulated drill switched in, and I put the auto tuner in the back hull. Ran the unshielded coax right up to the antenna. It worked great. I had no problem with a hot mic after I got all the grounding problems solved. You had to rip everything out of the boat and put in this, 6-inch copper strapping, make it almost like a weave, like a basket against the hull, and tie all the water tanks and the fuel tank and all the plumbing together with copper. Yeah, once you did that, I got a good launch point.
KB2CXK. K1YDY, comment.
UI, go ahead, K6DPC.
Hi, Al. I don't know the other station. I had a Freedom, Freedom 45, and I had the same issues with bonding the water tanks, the fuel tank, and of course the lead keel. That was interesting to get the keel bolt started. I actually drilled and tapped the top of the keel bolt and put a fastener into the top of the keel bolt in order to get that down bonded. So yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about when you talked about using your Hans Christian, although I couldn't use my backstay because I didn't have one, so I ended up with one of those Shakespeare 23-foot poles. And one YDY.
Yeah, Freedom, say that's Freedom Cat Boat? Or is it the Cat Catch?
No, let me run. I gotta take care of something. I'll be back. K6DPC clear.
See ya, Al. N1YDY. No, I had the Freedom 45. It was a center cockpit.
Guys, you had the carbon, the unstayed carbon mast, right? It didn't have any stays. By the way, handler is Craig. Charlie Romeo Alpha India Golf, and the call is KB2CXK.
KB2CXK. Very good. No, I had the unstayed carbon fiber mast. I had a conventional boom, a self-tending jib with a thing called a camber spar, if you know what that is. Very easy boat to sail. I'll tell you the story of why I did that if you're interested, instead of using the traditional route. It was a nice boat. It was very comfortable for a liveaboard. Did it for 10 years in Miami. Absolutely loved it.
Familiar with that when that technology came out with the unstayed carbon mast. Forgot who made that. It was either Mouse Bars or Isomat or one of those big mast companies that built them for Freedom, but they did have a catch version if I'm not mistaken, correct?
But yes, the catch versions were the earlier versions. And actually, Freedom did not have it made for them. They did it themselves. They had their own autoclave. It was all done by TTI when
when Freedom separated from Gary Hoyt, who was the first owner, and he had things done. He was the one who contracted DPI to do the early ones, and then they spun it off as a separate thing, and it still was an okay boat. They say the first couple of 45 hulls and the last couple of 38 hulls that were done by DPI were better than the first couple of hulls that were done by Freedom when they spun off. But then apparently they got their act together, and by the third hull, it was back up to the same quality standard.
I just went with the big heavy Chinese double ender. I had definitely didn't have any hull problems except drilling it for transducers. My boat weighed in, I think, about 18 tons. Dry displacement, and my biggest problem was finding a yard with a travel lift that could hold me out. A lot of the small yards in Long Island couldn't do it. I had to go to Capri and Milanas and stuff like that, if you know what those guys are. I'm sure you do. And other than that, it was a great boat, very comfortable. You could go to a tugboat wake and not have to worry about your drink flopping over or anything like that. It's a good ocean going boat, but like anything else, you don't really miss the day you sell it. I didn't miss that day. I used it just a handful of times the last year I had it. I had a new family, and I didn't need another $20,000 a year expense that didn't care if I sailed or not. Over to you.
Craig, I had a similar experience. I got married, and the woman I dated was, "Oh yes, I love the boat, I love the boat, I love the boat." And then, of course, the moment we got married, it was an issue. So, I miss the boat a lot. Really think that my time living on it was just absolutely great. Where I had it in Miami, a lot of guys kept their boats in Lauderdale if you're in Southern Florida, and it's not a great place, in my opinion, for sailboats. Great for motorboats, but for sailboats, by the time you get out of whatever canal you're on and out into the ocean, that takes an hour. And then, if you're going to go anywhere and come back in the same day, basically you're stuck turning right, going south for an hour. You let on the way back, you always want to go south because on the way back the Gulf Stream pushes you home. You don't want to have to fight the Gulf Stream on the way home. Somehow or another, it just always seems that the air poops out, the wind poops out by the time you're on your way back. So you don't want to motor home. You don't go north once you get out. So anyway, you go south for an hour, you go north for an hour, and then you have to fight your way back up the canal, and it's just not all that fun. Where I'm down in Miami, let me drop it for a second. When I was down in Miami, I put 300 hours on the engine in 10 years. I mean, that tells you how little I motored. It took me longer to warm the thing up than it did to get out of the channel and to keep it into a Biscayne Bay. And, I had a great time down there. If you just wanted to go sailing for a couple of hours, Biscayne Bay was great. If you wanted to spend the night over at Nixon's, it was a great place to escape to. And if you wanted to go down into the Keys, that was great. Of course, you could always go to the Bahamas, which was my favorite, but I didn't always have enough time to do that. Go ahead.
Exactly where you are. I've been going to Florida, South Florida, for about 25 years. My grandmother still lives there. So in Delray, I got friends in Boca, and I've been down to Lauderdale and Hollywood and all that area. So I know exactly what you're talking about. I was never a huge fan of the intercoastal and getting into now, waiting for the bridges and all that. I always thought sailing up here was the best. Being a lord of the sound is just a great gift. Always a good connection. About making it up to Maine or to Block Island or anything like that was always just a straight shot. Had your occasional nor'easter come in, but other than that, I love sailing up here. I didn't like the winters too much. I had a fireplace in that boat. I $500 propeller in the water under your boat all winter, you don't have an icing problem. But then I did that for a bunch of years, and I lived on it for an entire summer where I quit my job once. I was about 24, 25 years old, and you know, just quit my job, and I lived on it in Port Washington for about 3 or 4 months, and that was an experience and a half.
You're cutting in and out of the repeater. I don't know where you are physically. I'm actually in Port Washington as we speak, and so I know what you're talking about. I like it up here a lot. You know, it's a great place. Just if you can get out of Manhasset Bay and into the Sound very quickly, and you know, you can go anywhere you want from here. It's a nice protected area. You don't really appreciate how nice the Sound is until, like you said, you either go out into the ocean or you get trapped in the intercoastal. But the Sound is absolutely a lot of fun. It's a great place to go sailing. A friend of mine had a Tele 47, and he just got that a year ago, but we used to have a Trentella 45, was older obviously, and the Trentella 45, we'd take it up to Maine all the time, go through the Cape Cod Canal on our way up into Maine. It's just absolutely a blast to go with him, and it's nice to sail on somebody else's boat too. You know, it's kind of a neat thing when you're out with people that know what's going on, and you have a watch rotation, and you're very comfortable with the other people. It just makes it a very pleasant experience.
Absolutely, I know exactly what you're talking about. I used to crew I think it was Saturday morning races in the Sound coming out of was it Pelham, near the New York Athletic Club or something, Pelham, off of a Flares 45 named Chieftain, owned by a guy named Bob Tudor. I raced on that for like 2 years. That was a great experience. You know, we had a well-oiled machine. Mostly CFL, but that's because there was always alcohol involved. And but we didn't do it to win. We did it to have a good time, and we did. But yeah, so getting a good bunch of people is really key. Especially on a boat like that, where you got like 12, 14 people all trying to operate at once on this crowded deck. But I used to most of my stuff was single-handed. How am I making the machine now?
B2C6, N1, YDYU. You're doing better, much better actually. You weren't dropping out as much. Yeah, I grew up sailing here in Port Washington. My father loved to race. And racing for him was not something that involved alcohol. He was extremely competitive, and to the point where my dad, who, you know, was really just a meek and mild guy most of the time, would turn into a little bit of a monster once he, you know, was out racing. If he wasn't racing, he was a pleasure to be around. But if he was racing, you know, he just demanded more attention, and you know, all the testosterone was out, and, you know, on his part, and the people he chose to crew with were actually have crew for him when he had a shield. Honestly, growing up, Dad had an MBO first, then a shield, then a sonar, and, you know, it's only three classes of boats, but, you know, it occupied many years. And he just absolutely loved to sail, and I think I went away from sailing. Let me drop it for a second. I went away from sailing when I got off to college because, you know, I was free and not at home and da-da-da-da-da. And it took a long time before I went sailing again because I remember one of my friends got a boat and he was asking for help, and I just was kind of hemming and hawing because I always equated sailing with sailing. And we get out on his boat, and you know, he passed me, we're out in Long Island Sound, and he passed me a beer, and I'm like, pretty good. Kind of different from what I expected, you know, based on my experience with racing with Dad. But it was also out of a place called Glen Island, which was right next to the New York Athletic Club on Travis Island, as you probably know. And so you'd go out the backside and around Tea Island, and, you know, that area, I can't remember the name of the island, but Donald Trump was trying to develop it for a while before some historical society got him shut down, if you know what I'm talking about, N1YDY.
I don't know who your dad was, but if you grew up in Port Washington, I'll drop a name that you probably knew. I used to race against
morning to you. I hope you have a great day. Beautiful day if you look out the window where you're driving. I guess you've been looking out the window. But enjoy the day. This is N1YDY. I'll catch you later sometime. I also enjoy talking about sailing anytime. N1YDY is clear.
Clear. 2KNB.
really pretty much been off the air for the past couple of weeks. Nothing major, just things just didn't quite work out that way, and now things are back to what passes for normal.
Meetings. And in my mind, they do get priority,
so I'm sorry, but I don't make too many Limehawk meetings. But whenever there is any kind of a glitch and the Boy Scout thing isn't taking place, I go to the Limehawk meeting. Unfortunately, it seems to average once a year.
Well, I have a similar situation with our holiday party. It seems that this is the third year in a row that the my retiree association, which I'm on the board of directors, has this Christmas party. The same night, December 10th. That seems to be a favorite night to have a celebration. So I can't come to the line. But we had free pizza last week, which was nice.
Yeah, I ran up on that. All right, listen, I'm here. I gotta go. You have a very good day. It's always a pleasure. With that, it's Ron, isn't it? I'm trying to remember. The whole time we're talking, I'm trying to remember. Is that Ron or not? So let me know, but I gotta go. So I'll be listening for your final. With that, WB2EAV Mobile, gotta go.
That's me in the flesh. Have a good day, nice to you, and to the producer. Clearly listening for about 2 minutes, and I'll be at my destination. Have a good day.
You too.
WQVL Amateur Radio Repeater System.